Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
BS.
What's up, everybody? Great to have you in this morning. Wednesday, Joe, Low, Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Rick Barry just joined us at 7:30. Catch the podcast on the website, 957thegame.com. He was outstanding. Mike Brown, assistant head coach of the Golden State Warriors, coming up in 29 minutes at 8:30. Tim Roy an hour from now. Sean Livingston at 9:15. We're loaded. Locked and loaded, ready to go. 82nd game of the regular season tonight against the Lakers. We've got Dibs' idea for how to fix the NBA draft, which is a fascinating idea. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But for right now, throw it over to Dibs for your update.
Well, the NBA regular season comes to a close tonight. Good morning. I'm Dan Dibley. The end of 82 for the Warriors. The Lakers are in town at the Oracle Arena. Dubs already locked in at the number one seed. Kevin Durant's third game back from injury, but he'll be without teammates Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, who will rest in advance of the playoff game, likely to be Saturday at Oracle. No official determination made just yet. Joe, what are you looking for from the Warriors tonight in game 82?
Luckily for the Warriors, and unlike just about every other team going tonight, they got nothing to gain from winning or losing. So go out and have fun. It's Fan Appreciation Night. Steph, if you want to launch it up from half court, launch it up from half court. You want to throw it down via alley-oop style to JaVale McGee? Do it. The text line has been suggesting Sean Livingston start throwing up some threes. Have fun tonight. Embrace it. Take this as a moment to appreciate the fans, appreciate all the hard work you've put in, and celebrate a little bit, because come this weekend, it's all business for the next 10 weeks.
Portland Trail Blazers are the playoff opponent, and it should start Saturday. Stay tuned to 95.7 The Game for all the updates on the playoff schedule. Story number two, Gorkys Hernandez could not catch a deep fly ball. It was ruled a triple. Arizona beat the Giants 4-3. Buster Posey on the 7-day concussion watch list, and he talked yesterday about how he felt.
It was kind of just taking inventory, seeing how I felt before I hopped up. And for the most part, I felt pretty good. I mean, wasn't really dizzy and didn't feel out of it or anything. So
not dizzy, not out of it, but he's in the concussion protocol, though. What should we expect from Buster as far as how long until he comes back?
Sure, I think this 7-day protocol is great for Buster. Now he's going to be able to get his bearings back, and it's interesting because you heard what he was saying. He said he felt okay, not dizzy, but this is the precaution that you have to take, especially when you're dealing with brain injuries.
He could come back as a designated hitter. We'll keep an eye on the Buster Posey recovery. The A's are back to work after an off day. They are 4-4. Andrew Triggs gets the ball against Kansas City. The Dugout Show, 4:30 here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, it's a busy night in Bay Area sports because the Sharks are back on the ice. They take on Edmonton. Game one of the Western Conference quarterfinals. The update sponsored by FH Daily Chevrolet in San Leandro. Drive a little, save a lot at FH Daily Chevrolet. Find new roads. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the Warriors, our pregame starts at 6 tonight right here on 95.7 The Game.
Great stuff, Dibs. On this Warrior Wednesday, driven by the all-new Premier Kia of Newark. Online at PremierKiaOfNewark.com. Here is your rundown for all the programming that will be taking place today, because this is a very busy day, as Dibs laid it out, in Bay Area sports. Lakers at Warriors. Our coverage starts at 6 p.m. with Warriors warm-up. Tip time, 7:30, right here, 95.7 The Game. Now, the A's are at the Royals. Coverage is going to begin here at 4:15 with the Dugout Show. That's going to be on 95.7. It's also going to be on 102.9 KBLX. First pitch at 5:15. Now, both 95.7 and 102.9 are going to have you covered until 6 p.m. That's the point when the A's will be found on 102.9 KBLX exclusively. We'll be switching over to that Warriors pregame coverage I was just telling you about. And the Sharks begin their defense of their Western Conference championship from last season. They are at Edmonton. Coverage begins tonight, 6:30 on 98.5 KFOX. Dan Ruzanowski, the voice of the Sharks, will join us at 9:45 to talk about that series. The last segment got away from us just a bit. Probably the understatement of my radio career. But what we were talking about was the Eastern Conference and the NBA and how tonight the 7 and 8 seed are up for grabs. Indiana, Chicago, Miami all vying for them. But they're all going against teams that are essentially resting players. The Celtics are playing a Milwaukee team that's resting players. Dudes won't be playing anywhere tonight. And Dibs was making a point about playing spoiler and how Miami's on the outside looking in. They've got to be upset about it. Brooklyn is going to play nobody at Chicago, which essentially sets the Bulls up. And ultimately, this leads into a discussion you threw out here this morning, Dibs, about how the NBA could improve the draft. I was fascinated by this concept. I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Well, the biggest problem we have in the NBA is this draft lottery where you get rewarded for being bad. If you're one of the bottom three teams, you're guaranteed to get a bottom three pick, and you have the greatest chance of getting the number one pick through the draft lottery. It's a system that has long advocated and encouraged you to be bad. Tanking is rewarded, and at times you tank to avoid losing your pick because maybe it's top three protected. Maybe you need to win a little bit, then lose a little bit. It ruins the competitive edge and the competitive balance of the NBA. So my plan would be to have all the teams that don't make the playoffs get entered into a playoff draft tournament. So the 14 non-playoff teams enter into a 14-team single elimination tournament. The winner of the tournament, so you're rewarding winning here, the winner would get the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft. So you'd have March Madness-style elimination, none of this best of seven, take all month, one game only, you lose, and you're out. We'll see you at the draft. And you get all the way down to two teams who would play for the number one pick in the draft. The loser would get the number two pick, obviously, and it would be a great way to have more basketball for these markets that don't often get playoffs.
So many things to love about this. However, 14-team single elimination. After the first round, you'd only have seven. So I think we're talking some buys here. Is there a buy scenario?
There's two buys. So the two worst teams in basketball.
So this year, that would be Brooklyn followed by Phoenix.
Right. So those two teams would automatically be in the quarterfinals of the NBA draft tournament. So at the very worst, they would get the 7th and 8th picks in the NBA draft. And in fact, they'd even do better than that if the tie-breaking procedures were done correctly. You would have 13 games played for this 14-team tournament. You could do it in basically 4 different days. So the playoffs don't start till Saturday. So you'd have the season end today, and then tomorrow and or Friday, you would have the first round of the NBA draft tournament. And then next week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, the quiet spots in the schedule, you'd have the remaining 2 days of the tournament. Knock it out and figure out the draft order this way as opposed to ping pong balls.
You could even play them during the day. The NCAA tournament first round during the day. MLB playoffs first round. A lot of times you got that action during the day. How awesome would that be to have Philadelphia and Orlando meeting in a situation where generally it would mean nothing to you? The Knicks and the Sixers play tonight. No one cares.
Right.
Except in this scenario, you'd tune in. You would absolutely tune into this. Would it be tough to convince players on these teams to want to show up for this stuff late in the season? It is more than the 82 games they're contractually obligated to play.
It is, but it ain't tough for us players to go grab that check. And you could do things.
Well said.
And you could do things where you incentivize, make sure that they get paid for playing those extra games. And I think it'd be great for the fans, Joe. I think this is a great idea that Dan came up with, because what it does now.
Who's
is
Dan?
Dan Dibley. It does. I think it does a great job of making sure that now fans stay engaged too, because now they're going to say, my team still have a chance to get the number one pick. And how would you fix this before you say, okay, if a team's like Joe Dibbs talking about, two teams get the bye? With those teams, even when they're playing against other teams, it's still a point system. So if the team, if you set a line, whatever it is, you can use the points to say at least it was a competitive game. So if a team's favored by 3 or 4, you want to make sure that these teams, or both teams, are going to be able to compete at the highest level. And if you do that where the point system comes into play as well, now teams are going to play hard to the end of the game.
Hold on, are you talking about a point spread?
Absolutely. You could do it.
So you have to cover the spread in order to advance?
Why not? If you know that a team, think about that though. If the team,
okay, I love that, but I think that's too far advanced. I think that's too far advanced to just bring Vegas right into the equation. Although I love it because it solves the handicap issue.
Right.
It solves the issue of, because the biggest problem, and this is the only problem I see with this right now, Dibs, is the idea that the draft at its very basic nature, is set up to help the awful teams get better.
Right.
Now, somewhere along the way, we lost focus of that. We started tanking and going through all this stuff. Basically, card counting came into play. And I can understand why teams do it. But at its very core, the draft is set up to try to help restore the competitive balance. Bad teams get first crack at the best talent so that they can become competitive yet again. If you're sending a team that just misses the playoffs like Miami up against a lousy team like Brooklyn and they hammer Brooklyn early on, Brooklyn's still going to be sitting there, like you said, at best around the eighth pick.
Put a spread then.
So you're talking about putting spreads in and now making that situation more competitive. What do you think about that?
Just be better if you're Brooklyn. It's a one-game scenario. And what we've seen time and time again in the NBA is that any of these teams can beat any other team in a one-game scenario. So if you make this really matter and you put the players in position, you're not necessarily going to always have the bad teams lose out in this scenario. Plus, you've got the two worst teams, the teams most likely to lose, would get advanced the furthest. They'd get the two byes, and the other teams could just slug it out. It would keep you from completely downshifting into tank mode in March, which is what we've had. Some of these teams haven't been playing hard since the All-Star break, and
great
it's a
joke.
Great
for ratings, too, Dibs. It'd be great for ratings.
Oh, my God. It'd be so much fun to watch. You take the lottery out of the equation. How many people, when is that, generally like a Saturday? They do the little ping pong thing.
Right.
Like, I might tune in 5 minutes, see what happens, and then you're out of there.
Right.
This, I'd watch all of these.
Absolutely.
All of these would be great. You finally take teams that you probably don't spend a whole lot of time watching. How often do you watch Orlando?
Not
when
often.
The Warriors play them.
Don't miss
outside
them.
Of that. Joe, I don't know what you're talking about. Orlando's always on in the Dibley household.
We watch each game twice, as a matter of fact. Big fans.
A couple of problems that are coming up on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Viable points. Number one, Lo, you can help with this. Convincing players on the Nets, on the Sixers, on the Knicks, bad teams, to go out there and play hard so that their team can eventually draft their replacement. Mm. Their replacement. Does that cause an issue? A few people have weighed in on that. Valid point. Would that be an issue trying to get Brooklyn? All right, guys, let's go out there and win this thing tonight. Screw that. I don't want you getting the number one pick. That might be my job. Could that be a problem trying to convince these guys to show up for that?
It could. It could. I would say incentivize it, Lo. Everyone loves money.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I agree. So you make sure they're getting paid for it because they're playing extra games. But here's the thing. When you say you're getting a guy to replace their job, Joe, it's guaranteed contracts in base NBA. So if I'm not playing well and they get a guy and they pick a guy, the team's going to have to pay me.
The fact that you're still getting paid, you feel okay about that.
Yeah.
Plus, there's so much more versatility with how things work in the NBA. It's not like drafting a quarterback who's going to replace you. You draft another point guard, you can actually put both of them on the court at the same time. You can get creative with that.
Absolutely. And it helps teams with their trade value because now they can say, okay, we're going to get this guy. We're going to move that guy. So I think it would make the league more competitive. And you'll get guys playing harder because they're going to be able to showcase they're going to be in the playoffs. You'll get more branding opportunity. You always talk about branding. You're talking about who's out there endorsements.
God, I love branding.
Think about it. The endorsement factor of this now, lesser guys who don't get any publicity, don't get to be seen, now they have an opportunity to be seen on TV. It does a lot, I think, for the NBA.
Here's another situation that's coming up. Brooklyn doesn't have a pick this year. Celtics get it. So for the teams that would be entered in this tournament that have already traded away their picks, for example, right now the Lakers have that protected pick. If they don't land top three, and there's a 53% chance they don't land top three, the Sixers get that pick. So for teams that wouldn't have a pick as of right now, Brooklyn, for example, how do you get them to show up? Again, the cash, is that enough to get them? Because if you win, say it's 50 grand, you win that game, then there's another 50 or 75 or something waiting for you. Would that be enough to keep them going?
Well, they wouldn't be allowed in the tournament in this scenario. If you don't have a pick in the first two rounds of the NBA draft, then you're just not in the tournament. You got to sit idly by and watch. And going forward, you'd have to have it structured to where either you couldn't trade the picks or you'd have to have a pick to partake in this draft.
See, now we're finding an issue because that's part of what makes the NBA great is the trade deadline. That's always been one of the few knocks against the NFL. You never have any action at the trade deadline because you can't take certain players and plug them into different schemes. It's too complicated with that and the salary cap. But with basketball, the NBA trade deadline's generally pretty awesome.
Yeah. People are flying, picks are flying as well. But if you don't have any stake in the game, much like Draymond tonight, you know, he's not going to play for the Warriors because they feel like this is a meaningless game. He has no stake in it. If you're a franchise that doesn't have a pick, and you have no stake in the tournament, then you're just not in that year.
So, okay, help me out with the Brooklyn scenario. Like, right now, they wouldn't be in. So what does Boston do with that pick then?
Boston's pick that they're getting from Brooklyn?
Correct. Like, how would that play out? And I know I'm putting you on the spot because we haven't flushed this out. We're working our way through it. And if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570, would you be up for this suggestion? Would this be something you'd be interested in watching? Do you think the NBA could pull this off? Or what problems do you see with Dibs' scenario? Let the teams in the lottery play a March Madness-style single elimination tournament to fight for the right for the number one pick. 888-957-9570.
That's a hard one. You know, if Brooklyn owes their pick to Boston based on, you know, a previous trade, then obviously they wouldn't be in the tournament because they would just tank the thing to give Boston the worst possible pick as a conference rival. Maybe in that case, if the pick was already pre-given, then that just goes based on the record, the slot of the record. If you're already given the pick away, then that pick just comes off the board and you're playing for the number two pick then. If you have to give Boston your pick and it's the number one overall pick, that pick just comes off the board for that year.
See, there's something to this, but there are little things we got to work out.
Little things we got to work out,
but I love the concept. I love the concept. Can you eliminate the ping pong balls and add games? It'd be fantastic.
And you still, Joe, can't you say, okay, cool, Boston, you don't have a pick. We get that. But if they finish top two or three in that, do you say, okay, now they put them back in a second round? The NBA can do anything they want. They can say, if you go out and perform or do, or you make some rule up to say if they win a game, okay, all of a sudden we're going to give you at least a second round pick. So you can do something. The NBA can do what they can make their own rules. So I think there's a way around it. You got to figure it out.
Help me out with something. Brandon Crawford DH last night, right? He had that last at bat. He was DHing because he was getting the night off. Why is it that in the NBA we had such a problem this year with players resting, but in baseball it's so ingrained in the fabric of the sport, guys getting off every few nights, that it's not a big deal? This just came to me out of nowhere. I was sitting there last night and I was thinking to myself while I'm watching the game, why is it that this is just accepted? Because it's a long season, right? Baseball's a grind. It's how many months? Well, it actually kind of breaks down to the same amount of months as an NBA season. And yeah, you're playing more games and there's more travel. I get it. But why is it okay for Boch every 3 to 4 nights, Panic gets a night off, Crawford gets a night off, Pence gets a night, we want to preserve these guys, Posey gets a night. But now that they're doing it in the NBA, it's all this outrage. It's a major story in the NBA this year, but in MLB, it's just accepted. It's completely accepted.
I think it's a number of things. One is the price of ticket. The NBA ticket is a lot more than the baseball ticket. And also, if you're going to go see an NBA game, you're most likely going to see a star. You know, when Paul George comes in with Indiana, you're not going to see really the Indiana roster. You're going to see Paul George. Baseball's more of an ensemble with the 25 guys, and it's not so much you're looking for the one star. And they also might pinch hit, like you saw with Brandon Crawford yesterday. If you went to that game, you're a diehard Brandon Crawford fan. Oh, he's not in the lineup. There still is the chance that he'll pinch hit. These guys, when they rest, aren't in street clothes usually. They're just, you know, not in the lineup that night.
The cup of coffee on the sidelines like LeBron.
Yeah.
But you do see him in there eating the seeds and everything. It's just natural. That's just a natural part of baseball. And I got nothing against it. It's just the outrage in hoops over rest versus, I mean, those guys, how many miles does the average NBA player run a night on that court?
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's half the season that Major League Baseball guys go through, but a lot of guys, if the pitcher's on, you're really just standing in left field for a few hours catching a suntan.
Yeah.
And then every three innings, basically every hour, you're going to get up and you're going to take some cuts. These guys are running 6 miles a night.
Easy 6 miles. But isn't it weird, though, bizarre that so early, it's only like friggin' 8 games in, not 10 games in, or whatever the number is, and you're already taking a night off for baseball? You know what I mean? It's not like you're deep in the heart of the season.
Corey Seager was off the other night. He's young, and it's early, really early. That was the beauty of Cal Ripken, and that's why Cal Ripken's record is never going to be broken, because no one does this anymore. Ripken said when he was asked later in his career, like, why did you show up every single night? All those injuries you played through, like everything that was going on, like, why never take a night off? He said because every night he was playing, every night the Orioles had a game, there was going to be at least one kid in the stands who had never seen him play before, who had come to the ballpark to see Cal Ripken and had never seen him play before. He said, I owed it to that kid.
Wow.
And like, that was his approach to the game. So that's why he's the Iron Man. And he went through all, no one's ever going to do that again. I mean, everything that needs to happen for a player to break a record of that magnitude. You could throw DiMaggio's record up there, Oral Hershiser's record, and that record. I think those are the three that are the most likely to stand the test of time. Because Hershiser's shutout inning streak, you never hear about anyone even getting close to that. No one ever sniffs that. DiMaggio's hitting streak, there's always a dude that gets within maybe 15. Like, what's the closest someone's gotten to DiMaggio since he pulled that off?
Pete Rose.
Jimmy Rollins tried to span it over two seasons at one point. Pete Rose, how close did he get?
I think he got to 44, I want to say.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, boy. It was back in 19, diggity one, I believe,
you
Joe.
See? And then you got Ripken, who's ever going to play that many games in a row? In this day and age with rest, who's ever going to do it? But it's accepted. It's completely accepted. The Iron Man in baseball, that thing doesn't even exist anymore. And yet it's completely accepted, and we're fine with it. Dibbs even made a great case. Well, if I'm going out to the ballpark and Crawford's not playing, no big deal. It's an ensemble. I'll get to see some other guys. All right, Posey has the concussion, but I'll get a chance to see Brandon Belt. Well, if I'm going out to see Steph and he doesn't play, but I get Clay and Draymond, you know, what's the huge issue there? Like, why is there so much outrage? It's because it's new, right? We talk about how much money those guys make and how they owe it to the fans, but no one ever says that about baseball. Baseball is far less taxing on your body, is it not? I mean, Bartolo Colon, he's still pitching, isn't he?
Yeah,
how
boy.
Old is that dude? You think that guy could play an NBA game right now?
Heck no.
He couldn't have a free throw contest right now, coach.
No.
There's no way.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I think, Joe, a lot of it is, too, people might not want to hear it, but it deals with the different mindset how people view basketball and baseball. They look at these athletes in basketball, these rich guys are getting, you know, they look at them, oh, they're just playing only 82 games. And who are the clientele? Who's the people? So you look at these guys and say, oh, they should be able to play. Baseball is not as strenuous. It's harder to pull muscles. And I just think that it's because of the sport. It's because of the sport.
It's also, again, about putting the player before the team, putting the player before the brand. Major League Baseball does a good job of marketing some of its stars, but by and large, you're going to a Giants game to see the Giants. You're going to an A's game, let's be honest, to see the A's. You bleed the colors. You bleed the silver and black, and you bleed the football colors and the shield, right? But basketball, again, is about stars. You will pick games. I went to the Houston game a few weeks ago. Wow, I wanted to see Harden. I didn't want to see Houston. I wanted to see Harden. That was the point. That's what comes back to bite these guys. The fact that the league has gone out of their way to make it a player-friendly sport, to make it all about the players, has been beautiful for them with endorsements. The shoe deals they get versus what anyone else picks up in endorsements is insane. I mean, Peyton Manning was hawking everything, but Peyton Manning had to go out and hawk Oreos. Think about that for a second. One of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played was hawking Oreos. LeBron gets a lifetime billion-dollar deal with Nike. That's the downside. You're going to take the heat when you want to take the night off. The leagues in baseball, football, they got you covered if you're going to have an off night. I don't know. Just something I stumbled into yesterday. Mike Brown, former head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, how do the Dubs plan on stopping LeBron if they meet for the trilogy? He's going to join us next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a 2017 Premier Porsche dealer. Great to have you in. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. 14 minutes from now, we have got tickets to give away, plus a very interesting nugget surfaced in the NFL yesterday that could be a huge, huge windfall for the San Francisco 49ers. We will explain that in 14 minutes. But right now, we are very happy to welcome in the 2009 NBA Coach of the Year, the Golden State Warriors assistant head coach, Mike Brown, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach Brown, good morning. It is great to have you in. Here we are, game 82. It's been a whirlwind of a season. This morning, we were kind of kicking around some concepts, and 6 months flies by, and we went over some of the biggest surprises we had of the season. To you, what was surprising about being around this roster every day?
You know, they're all good guys, you know, first of all. And I didn't really know them coming in, but, you know them a little bit. Some of them you know a little bit better than others, and you hear good things about them. But what surprised me was how well these guys gelled together, not necessarily just, you know, playing and doing good things on the court, but how seamless it was to integrate a guy like Kevin Durant with a team that is already a very good team, and then bringing in even veterans like Zaza Pachulia and David West and so on and so forth. And it was like a seamless integration, in my opinion, that was a little bit surprising. I thought we'd have more struggles because of it than what we did.
Coach, tell me, in your whole career, have you been around a team in your entire career that taking Steph off the team and input KD, you still have a chance to win the championship, barring injuries? Take, you know, Draymond off, take Klay Thompson, and you still input someone, and you still possibly are still one of the better teams in the NBA, unlike if you take LeBron off the Cavs, no chance. If you take Kawhi Leonard off the, you know, no chance. If you take Harden, no chance. Is this the first time you ever seen a team or being privileged around a team that they have so much depth that you still have a fighting chance against anyone?
Yes. I was talking to somebody about that the other day, and you know, just the talent on this team is amazing. And you actually, back in 2001, 2002, after my first, second year, I got to San Antonio, you know, we lost, I can't remember, maybe in the second round, and we were talking as a staff together, and one of the things that was interesting that Pop said, he was one of the first ones that I've heard say this. He said, "Hey, you need at least three guys to win a championship. And if you don't have the three guys, it's going to be hard, you know, because obviously with one guy, it's almost impossible. With two guys, maybe. They got to be two really good guys. You have to have a really good supporting cast, but you need three guys." And you look at this team, and you have at least four guys. You got another guy, Andre Iguodala, who at times, you know, he could be considered one of those types of guys. And so the luxury that we have as a staff and as a city, as an organization, in my opinion, is unprecedented.
So what do you look to, Mike, between now and likely Saturday when you take on Portland? First, with tonight, I know Klay and Iguodala will sit, but what are the minutes going to look like for tonight as you try to get this team ready to go on Saturday against Portland?
I think Klay should play, unless you guys know something I don't know.
No, he meant Draymond.
Oh, yeah, my bad. My bad.
Well, you guys do get the scoop around here.
Yeah. Probably not over you, though, Coach.
I'd like to believe the morning show is not making any decisions when it comes to that team.
Oh, man.
It's the one thing we want to continue to do is make sure we get Kevin Durant on the floor so he can play minutes. You know, and mainly it's about him getting to a point where he's as comfortable as possible going out into our opening round game against the Portland Trailblazers. So getting him minutes is probably the most important thing, and then just getting a little bit of continuity. We just keep telling our guys, you know, yes, of course we want to win, but that's not the most important thing going into tonight's game. We want to make sure while we're out there, we're trying to take care of the little things as best possible. You know, no turnovers, try to limit our fouls, you know, work on some of the things that may translate to our playoffs, not just the opening round game in general. That's what we keep preaching to our guys. With the biggest thing, like I said, getting KD minutes, quality minutes.
Warriors assistant head coach Mike Brown with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. How far would you say KD is away from possibly being back to 100%?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think he's far. In my opinion, he's played well for being out as long as he's been out these last couple of games. He hadn't shot the three ball probably as well as he's wanted to. That's just, in my opinion, just more of a rhythm thing than anything else. And then, you know, every once in a while you see that he's a little tentative when, he feels like maybe somebody's going to come underneath him or, you know, he's got to get in the mix a little bit. But both games, you know, from the first game to the second game, he's gotten more aggressive with it. And you can see his confidence, his swagger is starting to come back. So he's definitely not 100%, but he's close.
Warriors assistant Mike Brown joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Mike, we talked to Rick Barry earlier today, and he was talking about how Steph Curry gets held and grabbed, and officials don't do a good enough job in the postseason of officiating that type of contact. What do you do as a coaching staff to try to get the officials to enforce such things as bumping Steph when he comes through on a cut or clutching him and grabbing him all the time?
Well, you know, obviously that's playoff basketball, but, you know, as you just said, there's gamesmanship in it. And, you know, Steve's going to be talking to the refs, obviously, during the course of the game. There may be a time or two that it's mentioned in the media, you know, throughout the course of the playoffs. But we expect it, and so we have to counterbalance it with different types of stuff. And, you know, we got to put them in pick and roll maybe a little bit more than having a move without the ball. We got to try to set screens earlier for him. When you set a screen a little higher up the floor, right at the beginning of the shot clock or as soon as you're crossing half court, you have a better chance of freeing somebody up because now in the open floor, the freedom of movement is not as restricted. You know, and then our other guys going to have to step up and make shots. You got a guy like KD who basically is 7 feet. And so in situations that are tough where the officials are letting the game be extremely physical and we can't get Clay or even a guy like Steph to shake free off of some pin downs, you know, sometimes we may have to just throw the ball into KD and say, hey, young fella, that's one of the reasons why we brought you here. Go get it. You know, and so we feel like we have options. We feel like our team, with the screeners that we have, and David West and Zaza Pachulia especially, will be able to combat some of those things. But there will be some gamesmanship with the officials throughout the course of the playoffs.
Coach Brown, when you interviewed for the job, and I found myself asking myself this throughout the course of the year, when you interviewed for the job, was it made clear to you that you would be responsible for holding Steve Kerr back whenever he tries to get at the officials?
Hey, you know what? I tell you what, so I coached Steve as a player, and it was, like, you know, obviously it was towards the end of his career, and he was good buddies with Danny Ferry, so it was towards the end of his career, too. Those guys were so laid back and chill, you know. I was like, man, these are great guys. They're going to be golfing buddies when they're done. All they want to do is have fun, play a little bit of jokes on people, drink some beer after games and stuff, and regular old guys. And, at first game, I'm sitting next to Steve Kerr, and somebody on the other team is shooting the ball, and Steve's loud, and he's yelling louder than the rest of our players. No way! I turned to him. And I'm like, where is this coming from? I said, I thought we were supposed to be professional coaches. But then next thing I know, you know, the ref does this or that, and Steve's up, and he's going ballistic. And like, it's real. He's got fire and passion that I had no clue he had. So, no, I don't worry about it. I'm going to go to Bob Myers and ask for a pay increase just for that.
Take him to church with you, Coach. Take him to church. Maybe that'll help. But, Coach, what was it like, and what is it about LeBron that makes him tick? You've been around this young man. You've seen him. You watched him grow as a player and as a man. What makes him so polarizing on and off the court? What is that it factor that you've seen? You've been around a lot of athletes, but what is it about him?
I tell you what, he is extremely intelligent. And not, I mean, you know, a lot of times people say, hey, that guy's smart, he's intelligent. No, LeBron is one of the most intelligent guys, and I've been in this game since 92. I don't know, you know, there's Kobe that you could throw up there, there's Tim Duncan that you can throw up there. There are not many guys that have the feel and the understanding that LeBron has, especially the game of basketball. Not only the game of basketball, just in life in general. And I think, you know, you couple that obviously with his athleticism, his size, his strength, and all that other stuff. And then, you know, he's a guy that wants to be the best. And part of him wanting to be the best, I think, is that he also doesn't want to fail. I don't know if that makes sense, but and it which drives him to be the best. And I've never seen a guy like him again. You know, you talk about our team. I've never seen a guy like him in my lifetime that has all those intangibles coupled with the intelligence and the will or the drive to want to be the best. And that's what makes him, in my opinion, who he is.
2009 NBA Coach of the Year, Warriors assistant head coach, Steve Kerr, holder backer, Mike Brown with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, thank you so much for your time. We know you're busy with the Lakers coming up. Best of luck in the playoffs, and hopefully we catch up with you again soon.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. I'm just appealing to the public out there. Hey, let's start a petition to get Bob Myers to increase my pay.
Yeah.
You know, because that is a dangerous job holding Steve Kerr back.
You could get hit by the shards from that clipboard, Coach.
You're 100% correct.
Thank you, Coach Brown. Have a great one.
I appreciate your time. Take care.
Woo.
That was fun.
Yeah. It's great questions.
That's always fun when you're 66 and 15. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, yeah. So, Coach, how you feeling?
I'm sorry.
Well, no, don't be sorry, but I get it, Lo. I get it. They're having a good year.
Stop talking. I get it. Everybody gets it. We got tickets to give away next. Come get it. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lo and Dibs.
That's right. Warrior Wednesday. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Here is how the rest of the show is going to shake down. Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, set to join us in about 17 minutes at 9:05. Sean Livingston at 9:15. And the voice of the Sharks, Dan Ruzanowski, at 9:45. Western Conference Championship defense begins tonight in Edmonton. That brings us to today's trivia question. We've got some tickets to give away. Two tickets to see Florida-Georgia Line with special guests Nelly and Chris Lane when they play the Bay Area on Friday, September 15th at Concord Pavilion and Saturday, September 16th at Shoreline Amphitheater. Presale for both shows runs tomorrow, Thursday, April 13th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. using the offer code MAMA, M-A-M-A, MAMA. Tickets on sale Friday, April 14th at LiveNation.com. We're going to ask you a question. You're going to call 888-957-9570. And if you're the first one with the correct answer, you will win the tickets. 888-957-9570. Where is the largest shopping mall in North America located? 888-957-9570. The largest shopping mall in North America, where is it located?
Is it Tan Ferran, Joe, in South San Francisco? No?
It is not, but okay. That's a good guess.
I probably shouldn't have given it away like that.
You're on the right continent.
Okay. So that's good. Good start. North or south? Never mind.
We'll get into the Niner Nugget in just a moment, but I wanted to bring this up because we were kicking around in the break. The A's, Dave Cavill announced yesterday, they're going to pull the tarps off the upper deck. $15 tickets. People rejoice. Another move by the A's because they're trying to listen to the fans. They're trying to offer a better experience, right? No way to really knock a move like this. It's a smart business play. But that leads into all of the individuals who are hitting us on the text line, on Twitter, everywhere. Can the Raiders do something like this as well? We understand that with football season, it's a different beast entirely. But one of the things Mark Davis brought up repeatedly was that there is a season ticket wait list of over 20,000 people. So if you were to take the tarps off of Mount Davis, based on the assumption that there's such a high demand for season tickets, don't you believe you could sell those tickets? Do you see the Raiders making a move towards yanking the tarps off like the A's are, Dibs?
I don't see that. No, and there's nothing better than having demand, you know, having people want to be a part of your product and having that season ticket holder list, because invariably people are going to drop off. Those people with season tickets, as this Las Vegas thing becomes more of a reality, and as you move forward and you realize that your favorite team is leaving, you may not want to re-up for next year and 2019 if they're still going to be around in Oakland. So if you're the Raiders, you want those people wanting your product. You don't want to have them settling for cheaper tickets when maybe you can move them off the wait list into tickets you're already selling.
God, it's such a fascinating concept because at the same time, they're going to be competing for a Super Bowl. Right. So you would figure you would be able to fill those seats.
You can fill the seats. That's not the problem. The problem is, Joe, is the parking. There's not enough parking for the stadium. And so that has been the biggest issue as far as if they were like last year, even the playoffs said, hey, look, if you guys are going to host a playoff game, would you consider taking the tarps off? And I think the biggest thing is the parking this parking lot is not big enough, so it's too joggling. Too.
Why does that? Why would that matter? Not saying you're wrong. I'm just curious. Why would that matter? Because the Giants have very little parking.
Yeah.
People have to find other ways to get there. There is BART. There are other ways to get to the Coliseum. So why would parking matter?
I think that is the biggest issue with the stadium is, they said, because of the parking, and it just be too bottlenecked. It's unsafe conditions. So that is the main reason that I think that, and also you'd still have to increase law enforcement and a lot of other things to go with it.
Well, yeah, you would need to open up concessions again, and you'd need to staff it. But with all the additional tickets you're selling to a product that should compete for a Super Bowl, wouldn't you be able to offset the difference in the profit on the tickets?
You would hope.
We're not talking about $15 tickets for the A's here. We're talking about these would be more expensive.
And the capacity bump would be 7,000 seats from football if you open that up. Right now it's 56,057. Smallest in the league if you don't count the L.A. Chargers playing in that soccer stadium as their temporary home. Baseball capacity is 35,000 without the tarp, so they're going to go up to, I think, 47,000 or 48,000 once they take those off.
Congratulations to Jack in San Francisco, the winner of the contest and the tickets. Where is the largest shopping mall in North America located? Well, if you paid attention to what we talked about heading into that question, you'd know it's Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
No way!
Site of tonight's game one.
Wow.
Stanley Cup playoffs underway. The Sharks at Edmonton. Former head coach Todd McLellan in Edmonton. A couple of interesting storylines. We'll talk to Dan Rusinowski about that at 9:45. Adam Schefter, ESPN, tweeted this yesterday. Cleveland has not made up its mind at number one per source. Split opinions. Some like Myles Garrett, pass rusher out of Texas A&M. Some like Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback out of North Carolina. We will see. Is it possible that after the Senior Bowl, the extensive tape watching, the combine, the pro days, the interviews, the private workouts, is it actually possible that Cleveland, a couple weeks away from the pick, still does not know who they want? Is that actually possible, though?
I do believe it's possible, Joe, but I don't think it's probable. I think when you see Myles Garrett, what he just jumps off the tape, he jumps off the board 40 times, the things that he's able to do, what he brings to an organization, he's a bona fide pass rusher. He's lean, the guy can get after it. I think Cleveland is still just out trolling, seeing what's there, trying to drum up interest. But it is possible, but I don't see these guys passing up this guy. Not in this draft.
You do believe that it's going to be Myles Garrett?
I really do.
The only other option would be trading out. You don't see that being a quarterback there at number one?
No, I don't. And when you look at it, he can just bring – you know that this guy, barring injury, for the next 10 years, he's going to be there. And you look at Trubisky, no disrespect, Joe, but you've laid it out earlier, and you've been talking about it before the draft. You've been on this for the longest. You talked about guys like Mark Sanchez, USC – great in college, but only had a limited amount of games. And you talk about Trubisky, didn't have a lot of games. And so when you go and do that, and now they got to be the smartest guy on the field and going through the different nuances and the defenses, getting people lined up, you just can't take that risk on an unproven commodity that a guy who hasn't played two full seasons in college.
Couldn't you make the same case, though, about Garrett? Because as exciting as it is to get about him as a player, there's no such thing as a sure thing in the draft. I'll always go back to that year that Seattle took Aaron Curry out of, what was it, Wake Forest? Outside linebacker, pass rusher out of Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I think that was the first year I was covering the NFL, back in like 2008, 2009, right around there. And I remember, of all the guys coming out that year, everyone talked about the top 10.
Sure.
They go, well, Curry's the sure thing. You draft Curry if you want the sure thing, but outside of him, and then it was analyzing everybody else. And sure enough, Curry was the biggest miss in the entire first round. Now, Cleveland needs a quarterback. What's Hugh Jack going to do about the quarterback position?
But, and I understand what you're saying. Just like Tony Mandarich, all those guys get drafted out. But I think it's a...
Mandarich. Oh my God. You think about the cover of that Sports Illustrated.
Oh,
it's like, am I really
like
supposed to believe this is legitimate?
Yeah, he was huge. He looked like, you're like, oh my God, how can you not...
He looked like Incredible Hulk.
He was Incredible
Hulk. His offensive lineman.
Right. Eating, what, 2 dozen eggs in one sitting? That guy was like a friggin' machine. But when you look at Myles Garrett and everyone's talk about what he's done, the tangibles, everyone looks at this guy. He meets the eye test, the 40. He does all those things. He's an amazing guy. Which one would be more of a risk? You got to look at Trubisky and say, okay, here's a guy who hasn't played a lot in college, limited amount of things. So which one to me is the biggest risk. Not that he's going to be better. You just got to say the risk has got to be with the quarterback because lack of time actually playing in college for only 13 games as a starter. So when you look at the risk, it's tough, and I wouldn't take that risk or that gamble if I'm the if I'm Cleveland.
Tibbs, let's flash forward, Lost style, the end of Lost.
Okay,
with the flash forwards. Couple weeks from now, NFL draft. Cleveland comes out, shocks everyone. Mitchell Trubisky or Deshaun Watson. But it's a quarterback at number one. They come out, they don't trade, it's a quarterback. Suddenly, the Niners are sitting there with Myles Garrett. Phone rings. Someone wants to trade up to get Myles Garrett. Do you see the team pulling the trigger on Garrett, holding pat and drafting someone else, or would they make the deal? Now, granted, the deal's going to be an average deal. It's not going to be an overwhelming deal. It's not going to be a terrible deal. But you can move back and pick up a couple more picks, or you can get this guy Myles Garrett that Lowe really likes, or you can go in a different direction. What would you see happening there?
You take Myles Garrett. You take the phone call and you say, hey, can you hang on? I'm on the other line with the pizza place, and I want to make sure I get these pies here before we take Myles Garrett. I'm sorry. No one's a can't-miss project, right? No one's a can't-miss pick, but you bring in Myles Garrett, and you feel pretty good about the fact that he's plug and play. The guy's an absolute beast. The game I went to, Texas A&M and Tennessee, wasn't his finest, but by the second half,
what a game!
He started to make his imprint on that thing. And you see the guy, and he pops off the tape, even if you're not a football expert. You see him, and you ask yourself, who is that number 15 wrecking shop out there? So the 49ers, you take the calls, but you make the pick anyway.
And he's smaller, Joe, and he's not as quick. And not as tall, but he reminds me of the Freak. You remember how he would just soak because he's really not that thick?
Talking about Javon Kurse.
Javon Kurse. I mean,
shook his hand at the national championship game when USC crushed Oklahoma down in Miami.
Yeah.
Shook his hand. He was there.
Uh-huh.
His fingers came all the way up to my elbow.
Oh, my.
Javon Kurse's hand was my forearm. Was my hand all the way up to my forearm.
You looked up at him like, oh, my God. Huh?
He had just signed with the Eagles. I was like, welcome to town, baby. He's like, we're in Miami. I looked around. I was like, yeah, I don't really know what I'm getting at. Brad Pitt was there that night. It was a big night. Me and all the celebrities.
You were with the celebs, huh?
Well, I was in a nice section. And not only that, Brad Pitt was like taking pictures with everybody, right? Totally cool guy.
Yeah.
Then it turns out the next day I'm on a plane, Us Weekly, divorcing Jennifer Aniston. That story broke the next day. So this dude's life is about to become the center of the universe in pop culture America. And he's taking pictures and smiling with everybody. Wasn't mean, wasn't a jerk, was just cool with everyone. Exactly what you would expect from the guy based on so many of the movies he's been in.
He's smooth.
Yeah. Javon Kurse, though, that's a hand, all right. He robbed the Eagles. Let's be honest. He robbed them.
His
without
better
a ski mask
in Tennessee.
Or a gun.
Yeah.
No ski mask, no gun. Robbed the Eagles. Tim Roy, he's coming up next to talk Warriors. We're back in a flash. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.